This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Thankful for the Holy Spirit.
When I say the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, what comes into your mind? Some people will say, well, there is no such entity. That's what you hear out in the world. Holy Spirit, what's that all about? You believe in ghosts? But the Bible teaches the Holy Spirit can be approached or shunned. He can be trusted or doubted. He can be loved or hated. He can be adored or insulted. Now, it's an ironic thing, and it's a sad thing, I think, that so few churches spend any time at all talking, teaching, or preaching about the Holy Spirit. Now, those who are going through our discipling ministry, if they haven't gotten to session four, there's a whole session on the Holy Spirit. You must know about the Holy Spirit. And this morning, I would like to share some things about, I can't share everything about the Holy Spirit. He is too encompassing. But I want you to walk away this morning knowing some things about the Holy Spirit maybe you didn't know before, but certainly some things that will reinforce what you already know this morning. So you might say, well, Pastor, you didn't cover this about him and you didn't cover that. There's just so much time to cover in one sermon like this. I'm going to cover a lot of ground. So let's see. I want to answer a couple of questions this morning. Who is the Holy Spirit? And then I want to answer the question, what is the work of the Holy Spirit in the world and in our lives? So let's get going. Who is the Holy Spirit? First, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. Two verses, for example, in the Gospel of John use the masculine pronoun he or him 9 times to refer to the Holy Spirit. It's up here. John 16, 13, and 14 use that personal pronoun. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Bible goes on to reveal that the Holy Spirit is a person of great powers who thinks, who feels, who proposes, who knows, who wills, who loves, and who grieves. Number 2, the Holy Spirit is God Almighty. He is the third person of the Trinity. He should not, he must not be marginalized or minimized by those who are believers in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has a role in life, and it's a big one. We know that he's God because so many places in the scripture are divine attributes are given to him. And those things that are those attributes are the things we ascribe to God the Father and God the Son. Let's look at this short list. Here are some of the qualities attributed to God the Father and God the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 9:14 says that he is eternal. He's always been. Just as God the Father has always been, just as Jesus the Son has always been, the Holy Spirit is eternal. No beginning, no end. Romans 15:19 says that he is omnipotent. You hear some of these words, but you don't know what they mean so many times. That means he is all-powerful. In a little while, we're going to look at some of his work in nature and in creation. He's all-powerful. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says that he is omniscient. That means he is all-knowing. He's God. He knows everything about everything, including you, including me. You say, wait a minute, God knows everything about me when he's got so many other things to do? Yes. God knows everything about you, and as Jesus knows the hairs on your head, as the Father knows the hairs on your head, the Holy Spirit knows you. And he knows you in an intimate way, because if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he knows you from the inside out. Everybody else who knows you only knows what they see. It's only the mask you put on. It's only the face you make. It's only the person you project. They only know you from the outside, but the Holy Spirit knows you from the inside out. He loves you, and the one who knows you best loves you most. Psalm 139:7 says he's omnipresent. When Jesus said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, he was talking about the Holy Spirit coming inside the life and the heart of the believer and the body of the believer and never abandoning them. You may feel abandoned. You may feel alone. You may be fearful in yourself, but the Holy Spirit is there with you, closer than a brother. Luke 1:15 says he is the essence of holiness, everything that's pure, everything that's good, everything that's right. 1 John 5:6 says he is the essence of truth. Pilate said, what is truth? And Jesus looked him right in his face and said, for all intents and purposes, you're staring at it. The Holy Spirit is the essence of truth. And Nehemiah 9:20 says he is all giving. Imagine, all giving. Here's your requests. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one, but they are also distinctly different one from the other. People say that you have a polytheistic view of God, more than one God. We have one God. Behold, the Lord your God is one God, but he's three persons in that one. Look at John 14:16 and follow along. And Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So look, Jesus the Son prays. God the Father hears and sends the comforter, the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit comes to take up residence in you. We pray to God the Father. We pray in the name of Jesus, and we pray by the power and authority of the Holy Spirit. Three in one, but distinct one from the other. Next question, what is the work of the Holy Spirit? As we saw last week, Jesus had a mission, purpose, and function. So does the Holy Spirit. Let me give you five. And there are many more than this. As I said, this is not an exhaustive study of the Holy Spirit. This is an overview so you can walk out the back door and say, I know more about the Holy Spirit today than I walked in. Number one, Genesis 1:2 tells us the Holy Spirit was actively involved with creation. He was actively involved with creation. When some people think creation, they only think God the Father. But Jesus was there. We talked about that. The Holy Spirit was there. God the Father did the math. He did the math and made the universe a perfectly functioning equation. Let me say it again. God the Father did the math and made the universe a perfectly functioning equation. You know, in order for us to launch a satellite into space, we have to launch it at the exact right moment. For that trajectory and the movement of the Earth, it has to go into space at a right moment. That is a mathematical equation. There's math out there. There's geometry out there. There's the highest forms of mathematics you can possibly think of. God did the math. But the Holy Spirit did something else. He performed his role in creation. Job 26:13, the first part of the verse said, by his spirit, he has garnished the heaven. What does the word garnish mean? What did the Holy Spirit do in creation? Well, the word garnish means to furnish with beautifying details, to adorn, to embellish, to decorate. Those of you who bake cakes, and I'm not one of you, but I do the other part. I love eating them. Those of you who decorate a cake, when you decorate it, you're garnishing it. When you put out a tray, if you're Italian, it's antipasto. You just want to slap them down there on the plate. You want that antipasto to look like something. You decorate it, you garnish it, you arrange it, you organize it. That's what the Holy Spirit did. Everything that's beautiful around us, he did. Do you love a sunrise? Anybody see it this morning? It was blood red out there in the east. It was so inspiring. Do you love a sunset with all the beautiful colors? Do you love looking up into the heavens? It isn't as great to see the stars here, but go way north and see how many stars dot that black sky. And you look up there and you see it is so awesome. He did that. The Holy Spirit did that. All that's beautiful, all that's inspiring, all that is lovely, His fingerprints and his artistry are all over it. F.S. Pierpoint once wrote this. It's also been put into a hymn. For the beauty of the earth, for the beauty of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Father, unto thee we raise this, our sacrifice of praise. Praise the Lord, when you woke up this morning, you saw something beautiful. When fall came in, it was beautiful. When spring arrives, it'll be beautiful. And of course, what I'm going to say next depends on you. When it snows, you fill in the blank. Number two, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the earth is preserved and renewed. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the earth is preserved and renewed. Psalm 104 verse 30 and Isaiah 40 verse 7 say that the cycles and seasons of nature are under the Holy Spirit's domain. In other words, what attributes to our weather is the movement and the current of the jet stream. When you watch the news, you'll see them talk about the jet stream. The one who set the jet stream on its course for all the time the earth will be here was the Holy Spirit. He's orchestrating all of that. He's in control of the weather. So whether the planet heats or whether the planet cools, it's up to him, not up to us. He's in control. Pastor, you just said something politically incorrect. The fact that the earth is able to sustain and nourish life for all the countless trillions of life forms is a miracle performed by the Holy Spirit every single day. We can't get our arms around all the life that is nourished and sustained on this planet. When we think of nourishment and sustaining, all we think about is ourselves, humanity. What about all the beasts of the field? What about the birds? What about the things that crawl on the ground? What about the insects? What about the butterflies? What about all of those things together, all living creation sustained on this planet by the power of the Holy Spirit? Number three, the first 3A, the Holy Spirit authored the Bible. The Holy Spirit authored the Bible. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It was He who is whispering in their ear. And I don't know how that miracle takes place where the Holy Spirit can say A, B, C, and it comes out in writing just like you would say it. But that's part of the miracle. So the Holy Spirit spoke and inspired and breathed into people, and this book became alive. This is no accident. This is a purposeful message from God to you. 3B. The Holy Spirit also interprets the Bible. John 14:26, and he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. If you read a book and you don't quite understand it, wouldn't it be great to be able to go to the author and say, can you explain what you meant in your book? And have him tell you. Well, can I pass this thought along to you? That you can do just that. You can go to the author of this book and say, please explain it to me. And the Holy Spirit will give you the insights that you need to understand it. So many folks who want to know what the author meant say, well, I read it and this is what he said, but I'll tell you what he really meant. No, God said it. That settles it, whether I agree or not. The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, the happiness of believers. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God is its end. Number four, and you're going to have to work with me on this one. The Holy Spirit is at work in the life of the believer. The Holy Spirit is at work in your life. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I've only got about, 15 items here. But if I did this justice, I'd probably have over 150. So this is just a sampling of what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. John 3:3-8. Upon your confession of faith, He literally enters your body, connects and ignites your soul, and your spirit, and the new birth takes place. He is coming inside your body. He is touching that spirit that is dormant without God, and you become a new person. You become that phrase, born again. John chapter 3, you must be born again. The Holy Spirit does that when you claim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And Galatians 4, 6, he gives assurance of that commitment, that salvation. He will give assurance of your salvation. In other words, when you ask Christ to come into your heart and you come to believe that you were saved, the very first thing the devil's going to want to do is make you think you're not. If you go along and you're the quote-unquote best Christian that ever walked the face of the earth, one of the things the devil's going to do is use that to make you think you're not. But the Holy Spirit wants you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your salvation is for eternity. And when you close your eyes one day here, you'll go and open your eyes in heaven. The last breath of earthly air you take will be the first breath of heavenly air you take, because the Holy Spirit has, according to 2 Corinthians 1:22, sealed your salvation. When you ask Christ to come into your heart, the Holy Spirit came in. He's not leaving. He's not on a revolving door. You sin, he's out. You ask him to come back, he does. You sin, he's out. You ask him to come back, he does. It's not that kind of a deal. The deal is that once he's in, he ain't coming out. He sealed it. And when something is sealed by the Holy Spirit, it's sealed for eternity. You're going home to heaven if you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ and you're allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Ephesians 5:18 tells us that the believer is filled. He fills the believer with himself. You have all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to need, but does the Holy Spirit have all of you? And that's the question. How much of you does the Holy Spirit have? Are you keeping things back from him? 1 Peter 1:2, he sanctifies the believer, helps you to grow in holiness. John 14:16, he never leaves the believer. John 14:26, he teaches the believer God's word. 1 Peter 1:22, he gives us power to walk each day in faith. And what does that mean? It means you can't do this on your own. You try doing this on your own. You try living like a Christian on your own. You try doing your own thing and figure you're going to get there. You're wrong. You need the Holy Spirit. You need his influence and his power in your life to do anything for Jesus. Romans 8, 26 and 27. The Holy Spirit's help helps us to develop a deeper prayer life. He strengthens your desire to pray. And then he gives you victory. He gives you something that you desperately need and something I desperately need. He gives us the courage to say to God in the face of a crisis, not my will, but thy will be done. How hard has that been for you to pray so many times in your life? I know it's been hard for me to pray. You know, Lord, I really want this. I really want to see this happen. I really want you to do this. And then to have to add, but not my will, but thy will be done. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit to get you to that point. And he will. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. He will give you victory over sin. Well, the very first thing he'll do is give you a discerning spirit so you know what sin is. So he will be your discerning spirit to know the difference between right and wrong. And then Galatians 5, 22 and 23, he will bring and develop spiritual fruits. Remember that he is the source of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faith, and faithfulness. I guess I'd sum up that line by saying, you light up my life. He's the source of your joy. He will light up your life. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 14, he will reveal, interpret, apply the deep things of God's word. And then he'll inspire you to share them with somebody else. Hey, are you excited when you learn something wonderful about the Word? Are you excited to tell somebody else when you learn something more about Jesus? Are you excited to tell folks what you know about God and what he's done in your life? The Holy Spirit will help you to get to that place. Philippians 3:3, he will inspire worship and adoration of God. Acts 9:31, he will bring you comfort through life's storms. Because there are things that you and I go through that there's no way we could explain how we were able to get through it without God's help. And Acts 8:27 and 29, he directs and plants us where we need to be to serve him. James and I have had many conversations about the job that God's going to have for him. And I've said to James, and he's shared right back at me, that God's got a plan for him. God's got a plan for you. God wants to direct your efforts and direct your feet to plant you where he wants you to be. I know that's why I'm standing up here in front of you this morning. Because God directed us to Hunterdon County a long time ago, just down the road, never even knew this church was here. I went to the only Church of the Brethren in Brooklyn, New York, to come to the only Church of the Brethren here in New Jersey. And I stand here before you humbly as your pastor today. That's a God thing. And finally, 1 Corinthians 12 said that the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts, and you'll have to go there to see all of what they are. Number 5, you and I as believers can work against the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the hammer dropping. Giving you all this positive stuff. Now, I'm going to tell you some things about where you and I might be. But you and I can work against the Holy Spirit. How? Number 1, we can tempt or test the Holy Spirit. You remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira who cheated the church and lied to the apostles? You remember that? And Peter says to them in Acts 5:9, how is it that you've agreed together to tempt the Holy Spirit? That's what they were really doing. We can tempt the Holy Spirit when we push the envelope of our bad behavior just to see how much we can get away with. We love to push the envelope. We love to walk the line, you know, so close to the edge. You're tempting the Holy Spirit when you do that. Because sooner or later, in His grace, He's not letting you suffer the deepest consequences, but sooner or later, you or I keep walking that line. The hammer is gonna drop. And we're gonna suffer the consequences of what has happened. Number 2, we can quench the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Holy Spirit. We can extinguish, stifle, or silence the voice of the Holy Spirit. And His influence in our life by not listening to Him when He's trying to touch us and trying to teach us and trying to speak to us. Sometimes He will convict us of sin. We know that what we're doing is wrong, but we won't listen. We kind of find a rationale. We put our fingers in our ear because someplace deep down inside of who we are, in our spiritual DNA, the Holy Spirit's saying what you're doing is sin. And we don't want to listen. And we don't want to repent. We fall in love with our sin and we keep on keeping on with it. When He provides a divine appointment to witness, there's somebody in your sphere of influence and the Holy Spirit is opening up doors for you to listen to that person. You don't. You say, well, I'm afraid to say something. I shouldn't say something. I wouldn't say something. And when He whispers to us to call, send cards, visit, be kind, be gracious, be merciful, be encouraging, we don't. We're critical. We're mean-spirited. We're judgmental. The Holy Spirit will be quenched, and you won't hear from Him until you ask for His help to stop being so hard-hearted. Eventually, after He's been speaking to you and trying to influence you and trying to send you signals and shots across the bow, eventually, when you keep turning away and stop listening, He's going to stop talking. Until you get to that place where you say, I'm sorry. I long to hear from you again. Please forgive me. I'll repent. Third, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. God, the Holy Spirit, can be saddened by our sin and our disobedience. He is sad when we fail to submit our will, our gifts, our time, our talents, and resources in the service of Jesus Christ. Over and over again, we know the truth that it's not all about us. Over and over again, we know the truth that we can't hold back from God and we can't outgive God. But so many times, we do. The Holy Spirit is the source of all it means to really be alive. He opens our eyes to all that life in Christ can be, all that He wants to offer you. If you give Him an opportunity, He will turn your nights into day, your sorrows into joy, your negative attitude to a spirit of hope. He is the greatest agent of change in the life of the believer. He is the greatest transforming power in the universe. He can change a heart. And he wants to change everybody's heart. And he wants to change yours. Closing story. The Russian author Fyodor Dostoevsky told a story of the time he was arrested by the Tsar and sentenced to die. The Tsar played a cruel psychological trick on people who rebelled against his regime. He blindfolded them and stood them in front of firing squads. They heard the guns go off but felt nothing. Then they slowly realized the guns were loaded with blanks. Can you imagine that? That the Tsar condemns you to stand in front of a firing squad. You get blindfolded. You stand in front of it. You hear the shots, but nothing happens because he put a trick on you. There were only blanks in those guns. The emotional trauma that went with the process of dying without experiencing death had a transforming effect on people. It certainly had an incredible effect on Dostoevsky. He talked about waking up in the morning of his mock execution with full assurance that this would be his last day of life. He ate his last meal. He savored every bite. Every breath of air he took was taken with the awareness of how precious it really was. Every face he saw that day, he studied with intensity. I may never see your face again. He wanted every experience etched on his mind. As they marched him into the courtyard, he felt the sun beating down on him, and he appreciated the warmth of the sun as never before. Everything around him to see seemed to have a magical, mystical quality to it. He was seeing the world as he had never been able to see it before. All his senses were heightened. He was fully alive. After his captors removed his blindfold and he realized he had not been shot, everything about him changed. He became grateful to people he had previously hated. He became thankful for everything about life, but especially for life itself. Dostoevsky claims that it was this experience that made him into a novelist and raised his sensitivities so that he could perceive dimensions of reality he had never seen before. The good news of the gospel is that we don't have to go through such a trauma in order to be awakened to the joys of life. People apart from the Holy Spirit are often described in the Bible as being asleep, but it also tells us that the work of the Holy Spirit is to wake us up to what life is all about. Paul tells us that we should approach life with our eyes wide open to the mercies of God. It is the Holy Spirit that opens our eyes to these mercies day in and day out. I am thankful for the Holy Spirit.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.